Duarte Geraldino here with you on The Takeaway. When we think of wildlife and natural environments, we think of untouched forests and jungles, pristine waterways, and sprawling hills and countrysides. One place we don't think of is cities. But that type of thinking no longer matches up to our world, according to Menno Schildhausen. He's the author of the new book out today, Darwin Comes to Town: How the Urban Jungle Drives Evolution. Rather than shying away from urban environments, Schildhausen argues, to understand how life really works in this increasingly human-dominated world, biologists need to study what's happening in the overlooked nooks and crannies of our cities.
As biologists, we're always supposed to not to go to the city. We just say there's no biodiversity there. The really interesting things are out there in the forest. But I think when we really look closely, we see that in cities, there's actually very interesting biology going on, a lot of interesting ecology. Because when a lot of people live in the same place as we do in cities, we concentrate a lot of resources there. We bring in a lot of food, we provide structures, we provide all kinds of things that animals and plants can benefit from. Just like, for example, ants' nests. When you dig up an ant's nest, which is basically a small-scale city, you find that there are other insects that are living in those ants' nests. Snails, millipedes, they're all species that have evolved to find a niche in that ant city. More and more biologists are now discovering that the same thing is going on in our cities, that there are wild animals and plants that are evolving to find a niche in that unique new habitat that we've created, namely the city. So once you realize that, you begin to see that the city is actually where the really exciting evolution is taking place at the moment, that that's where something new is happening that we should be studying as biologists.
One of the larger arguments of your book is this notion that nature isn't just outside of the cities, but the city itself is in some way natural, that it's part of the environment.
Yes. Yeah. I think we are used to viewing nature as everything that doesn't involve people. But then we're forgetting that we are also a species that fits in the tree of life, that fits in the evolutionary family tree. And we are a species that has evolved the ability to change its environment drastically, even more drastically than termites or ants or other animals, which we call ecosystem engineers. That's the term that biologists use for a species that is able to change its environment in such a way that it creates niches for other species. So like ants, like termites, like beavers, like corals, they create a place in nature where other species can live, and people do the same thing. So I think what we are doing in creating these cities is natural, except it's very new. It's something that we've only been doing for the last few thousand years, but apparently it's in our genes and it's natural.
So when you talk about humans being sort of ecosystem engineers, because we are in many ways at the top of the food chain and arguably the most powerful species that the planet has ever seen, there's something that you coined the human-induced rapid evolutionary change.
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah. So that's a term that we use. So HIREC, human-induced rapid evolutionary change, which is a phenomenon that we see now, namely that other species evolve very quickly, sometimes in a matter of years, they change genetically in a way that has to do with how we change their environment. An example that I find fascinating is in one of the best known city animals is the city pigeon, which is picking up a lot of pollutants. It's harming them, but they can control this by, at least some pigeons can, the darker ones, the ones that have dark feathers. You may have seen that you have these light gray ones, you have much darker gray ones. The ones with dark feathers, they have melanin in their feathers, and the melanin binds these heavy metals. So you see that in cities, the darker ones have an advantage, and they're reproducing much more efficiently. So in cities, you see that the average hue of the city pigeons is getting darker and darker and darker, because those are the ones that are good at detoxifying their bodies by getting rid of those heavy metals by putting them in their feathers. And that's HIREC. That is human-induced rapid evolutionary change. These pigeons are changing rapidly in the face of this pollution.
So your work is not without controversy. Your critics will say your work is sort of an excuse for us not to care about the environment, because if the city is in fact a part of nature, then whatever we do can't really harm nature. What do you say to your critics who will argue what you are doing is in some ways dangerous?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can have it both ways, because you can enjoy and appreciate these evolutionary changes that are happening in cities, and at the same time realize that the flip side of all this evolution is extinction. There are a few species that are able to adapt, but there are also lots of species that are not able to adapt and that die out from places where human influence is very strong, like cities. Especially climate change, habitat change, all these changes that we're enforcing on the world, they produce this fast evolution that I've been talking about, but they also produce a lot of extinction of species that cannot evolve and adapt quickly enough to the things we're doing to their environment. So a few species are able to adapt to cities, and that's very interesting. It's something we should study and we should appreciate. But that doesn't mean that we can preserve biodiversity by waiting for it to adapt to a world that is influenced by us. At the same time, we still need to conserve these untouched areas where a lot of species are going to survive, which cannot survive in cities.
Why are your ideas, do you believe, so critical for our deeper understanding and appreciation of nature?
I think it's a number of things. The fact that it happened so close to home, I think, is very important for lay people, but even for scientists. The fact that you can see some fundamental process like evolution in your backyard in real time, and hopefully also by using citizen science methods, you can actually get people to record data which allow us to watch this process happening. I think that makes evolution a much more tangible process. And we realize that it's a very normal and ubiquitous process that's going on all the time, everywhere. And it's not something that only takes place over long periods of time and in faraway places like the Galapagos. You can see it in Central Park.
Menno Schildhausen, author of Darwin Comes to Town, How the Urban Jungle Drives Evolution. Thank you.
My pleasure.